Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the second week of December, and the holidays are upon us, and going to be doing a little bit of entertaining this time of year, maybe a little barbecue out back, because Mother Nature, while it's still a little bit cold out, but you know what? It's still good to get out in your backyard, fire up the grill or smoker, because if you're a real grilling guy, you do this stuff year-round. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks for joining us. And yeah, it is the weekend, so it must be the Grilling Guys. No matter where you're at, it's the Grilling Guys. You can check us out on thegrillingguys.com. And you can go to Facebook/thegrillingguys. Give us a like. We need more likes. We've only got two, so we'd like to have four or five.
Right, yeah.
And I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. There's a common thread here, Joppy.
Right. You are the Grilling Guy. I'm just the sidekick. Yeah. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
No, it's the Grilling Guys.
Plural.
I'm yeah. just You just don't guy. Have a Twitter right. handle.
Yeah. If that baritone voice you just heard was Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery is sitting in with us today. And
we call him the Crusher.
Right, yeah. Speak of the Crusher, what'd you bring, buddy?
Well, you know, Bob asked for one beer, and I said, you know, it's coming up on the holidays. Let's feature two beers.
Right.
So we're starting out today with Coconut Crusher. I like to tell people that it's a stout that reminds you of a Mounds bar. It's got toasted coconut that we put our Bone Crusher stout on top of for two more weeks.
It's like a Mounds bar with dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. Instead of the sweet stuff.
And I'm not a big coconut guy, but this is not real coconut forward. No, it's just got a little hint of it.
No, it's like when you use coconut in grilling. It's an accessory.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Oh,
it's like coconut charcoal.
So is this in stores, Chaz, or is this...
Yeah, you're going to find this around town. You can always find it at the brewery.
Right.
But it's around West Michigan. Just ask for it at your local...
It's all across the state, isn't it?
Well, certain parts of the state... There's too many breweries, so we don't always fit in.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of breweries here in Michigan.
I know what it's like not to fit in. Don't feel bad.
I'm taking lessons from you.
Oh, man. Jeez. Okay. Downer. Anyway, Debbie, leave the studio. Debbie Downer. Chaz, tell me a little bit about when you mentioned the craft beer industry. You're getting a lot of breweries around the state. I know you're involved with your trade association, and you go to Lansing and you talk to people about this. It always interests me, the statistics that are going on in the craft beer industry. Give us an update, man.
Well, you know, in Michigan alone, we're over 300 licenses of manufacturing of beer. And that's quite a bit. I mean, we're probably number four now in the nation for number of breweries. Not everybody distributes. There's a lot of really great little brew pubs. I mean, over by Bob's house a couple weeks ago, I got to go to that Big Boiler. That was a nice place, and they don't distribute.
Okay,
they're making beer for their friends and neighbors and in their restaurant.
Did you go to New Union?
I haven't been to New Union
yet.
Oh,
you're missing it.
Yep.
Well, you got to invite me over when you go.
I have.
So, but are the most of them the little neighborhood breweries, or are most of them distributing?
Most of them are the little neighborhood breweries. But in Michigan, our licenses and rules and laws and everything are a little bit different from everybody else. We really have two classifications. We have the brew pub, which is what Big Boiler is, where they can bring in other people's alcohol as well as sell their own, but they cannot sell outside of their building.
How about a place like Griffin Claw?
Now, Griffin Claw is a microbrewery, so they cannot bring in other people's alcohol.
And you're a microbrewery.
We're a microbrewery at Schmoe's. We can't bring in anything that we don't make.
How about Dragon's Mead?
Dragon's Mead is also a microbrewery, but they're also a winery.
Have you been there?
Yes.
That's a crazy place.
So really, when you get started and file for your license, you have to decide whether you're going to make all the alcohol you're going to sell, or are you going to be able to buy from the outside? And if you're going to make all the alcohol, then you have the rights to distribute and put it out at
So if you're going to sell booze in other people's lines, then you can't distribute.
No, you can't distribute.
You're missing the point. Ah. It's all about the beer. Is if you're a brew pub, right, then you can bring other people's stuff in, but you can't distribute. Whereas if you're a microbrew, you can't bring anybody else's stuff in, but you can distribute, right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's the model of it. And so what we're finding is that a lot of places, even though they're a microbrewery, they don't really focus on distribution.
And that's okay.
That's
in my
great.
Opinion, because look, there's 50 states. There's 300 breweries plus. I bet you there's 350 now in Michigan. Because so many of them don't believe you're going by the guild and all this stuff and the lights. There's so many of them that are just in the starting stages and whatever. God only knows how many there are. But state of California, what are there? 380 now?
I think they're over 400 now.
Over four. State of Oregon.
They're just at four.
Just at four. Oregon. If there's 400 in California, the little state of Oregon, 400. Okay, Oregon's got to be the beer capital of the
world.
Yeah,
my nephew, we had him on a show there from Olympia Provisions. Their restaurant does some of that too.
Oregon is spanky on beer. Washington State, Colorado. You look at just Michigan, those top five, and you've got 2,000 breweries.
Yeah, almost 3,000 breweries.
Yeah, wow.
But it's really unique that a lot of these small town breweries have made the decision that they can be a microbrewery with the legal ability to distribute, but it really doesn't fit their business model.
Right.
They make beer for their friends and neighbors and run a nice little mom-pop business, and they're making a good game of it.
You know, before Prohibition, that's the way it was everywhere. There was a brewery in every major marketplace. Petoskey.
Well, if you're in Kent County, it's like almost in every corner.
Right, but before Prohibition, if you went into a town like Petoskey, there was a brewery there.
Right.
Prohibition came along, wiped them all out, and I maintain that's how you ended up with the Millers and the Budweisers of the world, because when they lifted Prohibition, these large brewers swept across the country and bought out those little guys that were sitting there in mothballs or just built one because they had the capital. And that's how you got this huge monopoly on the business. The beautiful thing about the microbrewery business is you're busting that monopoly up. You don't have to buy Budweiser. You don't have to drink Miller.
Can't remember the last time I did.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
You know, I mean,
it's so sad.
Remember, Bob, we'll go back in history, but I was a Labatt Light guy. I was a Labatt Light guy, and I wouldn't have this craft beer. When we first started this show 8 years ago, I wouldn't craft beer, all that stuff.
Well,
terrible.
When I first met you like 8 or 9 years ago, I went in your basement, and you said you had some beer in your thing. And I said, you got any microbreweries, any microbrews? And you go, oh, I don't know, those things are so bitter or whatever. And I opened up your fridge, and it was all full of the bats.
Right, exactly. I honestly haven't bought it in years.
You had a couple of somethings in there that somebody had left, and you go, yeah, somebody left those here. And it was a couple of great beers, and I'm like, oh, good. I don't have to drink a big brand beer.
But where I'm going is your palate can change. And if you're exposed to and have the opportunity to try a variety of beers, you'll find one of these microbrews that you like. I don't care what your taste buds are. And then they'll grow. And this Coconut Crusher, Chaz, I'm not a big coconut guy. It's one of my least favorite flavors, but this is really good.
That's really good.
You're a grill master. What would you put this with?
This one, I'm going to start out with grilling a dessert with this. You know, when we do some of those candied bacons, if you took this and you brushed it on bacon as you slow grilled it, just real easy so it candied up on it, you would have one of the most fabulous things you ever put in your mouth.
And you don't need to sex it up in the first segment like that.
Right.
Well, I got more.
It sets us up for a great show, Bob. Come on, man. Well, anyway, what we're going to do is from here on out, we're going to talk a little bit of brisket in this show. This is from our listeners. This is one of the hardest things it is to grill. So we're going to take a little bit of time and show you how to do it because it's a great holiday piece of meat. It goes a long ways. It's real special. So stick with us. We'll be back.